What's up, everyone? It's Michael Scotto, HoopsHype.com's NBA writer and host of the Hoops Hype podcast. On today's episode, our Hoops Hype salary cap expert Yossi Goslin and I are going to break down the offseason for the Atlanta Hawks and the Los Angeles Clippers after both teams fell short in the conference finals. And, you know, Yossi, the most notable item starting off with the Clippers heading into the summer is the free agency of Kawhi Leonard, Hoops Hype's number one overall ranked free agent in this year's class.
Yeah, the Clippers, they had a really unbelievable offseason, especially compared to the meltdown that they had in 2020. Think that they learned a lot this year, especially under Ty Lue. I think they're definitely figured out a lot of things, and they should feel good about heading into next season. And especially if you're Kawhi, if he had any doubts about whether this was the right move, if he should remain there for the future, I think a lot of those doubts really cool down. So as we know, he is eligible to be a free agent. He's got that player option. I wrote about the Clippers last week as soon as they got eliminated. I talked about him and several other things. And with Leonard, he's got his player option. And I don't think he's going to leave, but I'll just touch on that really quick about what that could be. If he were to walk, Dallas and New York are the only playoff teams that could get to max cap space for him. So I don't know if those are places that are particularly of interest to him. Maybe Dallas because they have Luka. I don't know. But those are really the only two recent playoff teams that could get to max cap space. There's Miami, but they're not able to get the max cap space. Their route to getting Kawhi would have to be through a trade. So it would have to be kind of a situation where Kawhi tells the Clippers, hey, you know what? I don't want to be here. I'm going to leave, but maybe I'm willing to go to Miami if you trade me there. He can say this about with some other teams, and then Miami would have to opt in Dragic and Iguodala and then send picks and Hero and whatever they can to make it work. That would be basically the situation. So I touched on that a little more where Leonard, if you really want to leave, you could do an opt-in trade. I think he has more options that way. But I don't think that's going to happen. My guess is that he will end up staying with the Clippers. And I think the bigger question is what kind of contractual pathway will he take to stay with them? He can opt out and he could sign a four-year, $176 million contract with them. He could also so he can only do 4 years because he has early bird rights. If he wants, he could also do another short-term deal because of that, do a 1+1, and then re-sign with them next year on a five-year, $235 million max. One other pathway that Bobby Marks suggested was that Kawhi could opt in to $36 million and then immediately sign once the offseason kicks in. On the second year anniversary of Kawhi signing, he can extend with the Clippers for add on an additional 4 years, $181 million. So he's got some options as far as at getting like 4 to 5 years on top of what he has now. I get the feeling that he will do a 1+1 and then sign a five-year deal next summer just because he can. He's Kawhi. He's a top five player. And this is the Clippers. They have all the money. Their owner is one in the top 10 wealthiest people in the world. If he takes a 1+1, that would also still keep give him a lot of leverage, put a lot of pressure on the Clippers to keep improving the team. Not that I doubt the Clippers are going to hold back on anything, but when you have a superstar on a short-term deal, then it keeps the front office on their heels to keep making moves that would keep the team competitive and appease Kawhi. So, if he does a 1+1 now and with the plan to sign a five-year deal next offseason, he'll definitely get it. He's Kawhi.
Yeah, and I mean, regarding Kawhi, you know, I know you had wrote on the Clippers, as did I, focusing a little bit more on Kawhi's situation where, you know, we polled for Hoops Hype 5 executives around the league just to get a barometer of what they feel Kawhi is going to do. They all felt he was ultimately going to stay with the Clippers. And I would think that that's the pathway right now. They had a good run. You know, if he's healthy with Paul George, the way they were rolling, could have been a different series. But contractually, I think like he figures that out. Another guy we touched on in our stories, you know, which you should check out on hoopsite.com. We touched on Reggie Jackson, so I don't want to get too much more into him. But one guy that I do want to touch on a little bit more is Terrence Mann. You know, as you had written, he's eligible for an extension with the Clippers. And to me, that's a guy that's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens there. So for me, it's like, you know, you had written he's eligible for a 4-year, $56 million extension. That's the most he can get. So to my knowledge, Mann and the Clippers haven't had those conversations yet. It's a little too soon to discuss it. But that said, my sense is the only way it makes sense for Mann to consider signing an extension with the Clippers at this point is if they offered that full max of the 4 years, $56 million to get ahead of potentially his future market going forward, because he is under contract for another few more years. But I'll let you kind of break that down a little bit more concisely than I can.
Yeah, so that $56 million, that's the projection right now for Mann. And my feeling is that he might not take that just yet. So he will have all of next season to sign any type of extension with the Clippers. And, you know, if you told him when he got drafted that this was going to be an option, I don't know if he would have believed it. But after his emergence and his role stepping up for the Clippers after Kawhi went down, my feeling is that the Clippers might put that on the table immediately, because they are very high on Terrence Mann. They've always been they've been scouting him for a very long time. I don't think they were very shocked to see that he was playing like this when he did. And I could see them thinking, you know what, $56 million over four, that might be a bargain. Let's offer it and hopefully accepts it. That would be great for us. I'm thinking maybe Terrence Mann sees that, listen, like, I just had a breakthrough playoff performance. Maybe I could get even more, because if he makes it, if he doesn't sign the extension, he could become a restricted free agent in 2022. He's got a team option for 2023, but I don't think the Clippers would want to exercise that, even though he'd be making less than $2 million, because if they exercise it, then he becomes unrestricted in 2023. So if he doesn't sign an extension with them during the season, he'll probably become restricted in 2022, and he could get more money than that extension. He can get up to the max. I'm not sure he's gonna like get the max, but he could get more than $12 million annually for sure. So we'll see. I think with no rush to sign the extension, I'm expecting Mann to play it out a little bit, try to build off how his performance in this playoffs, and try to get more in restricted free agency.
You know, and I agree with you on that overall in terms of the options of whether it makes sense for him or not. It's still like kind of early in the game. To me, I don't know if he's going to necessarily get the opportunity he did in the playoffs. And I almost wonder if you should cash in. There's times where guys leave money on the table. You know, we've seen that with a guy like, just for comparison's sake, like a Norris Cole, a Nerlens Noel, and they don't get it back. And that's always something you never want to do as a player. So I think it's going to be an interesting scenario for both sides to decide. Obviously, it's in the early stages there. But again, from Mann's perspective, my sense is that it really doesn't make sense for him unless it's the full max. And he's not the only guy that's eligible for an extension with the Clippers. You know, Patrick Beverley is extension eligible as well. And I'm told that Patrick Beverley is open to a contract Patrick Beverley is open to contract extension discussions with the Clippers. Leaked source told Hoopsite. I'm told that Beverley loves playing in LA with the Clippers. He's a big fan of Steve Ballmer as an owner, and that Lawrence Frank has been great to Pat Bev and his family. So, you know, opening those discussions of a contract extension would be something that Beverley would like to do. And it'll be interesting to see if they take care of him, because heading into next season, Beverley is owed $14.3 million in the final year of his contract. You know, he's type of guy, a pesky defender that you need on a championship team. You know, I know maybe some fans aren't thrilled, you know, the shove that he gave Chris Paul at the end of the series. But, you know, Pat Beverley's the type of guy that you want on your team as a rugged defender and not a guy you want to go up against. So it'll be interesting to see if they get that done. But from Beverley's side of things, he's open to it for sure. And, you know, within the next couple of months, he's going to be heading down to Houston with one of his trainers, Aaron Miller, and they're going to get back to work. So we'll see if he gets to work on his game as well as a new contract with the Clippers coming up soon.
Yeah, so one of the things I wrote about regarding Beverley and some of the other Clippers role players is that when the Clippers, they did their move and they got Paul George and Leonard and they traded all their draft picks, they basically lost all their flexibility to do just about anything. And now tears has passed. They have a couple draft picks opened up they could trade. And now they have a bunch of mid-tier salaries that they could use for potential bigger trades. They've got Marcus Morris. You got Beverley. You got Kennard. They got Ibaka, who I'm guessing will opt in now with his injury. They got Rajon Rondo. They got Zubats, who's another player who's extension eligible. And if the Clippers want to make somewhat of a big trade, they kind of have the juice to do it. I don't think they're going to get like an all-star, but they could definitely make some kind of upgrade or target some kind of player that they think could be a great fit for them. So if they really like Beverley going forward, then, you know, why not extend them, take care of them now while you can? The only reason they might not is just because trade opportunities. If they extend Beverley, it might limit how much if they could trade him. But I don't think he'll get a big enough raise where he'd not be able to be traded immediately. But and at the same time, you got to make sure that the contract is something that could be traded later. So, you know, that's just something to keep in mind. I think the Clippers are definitely going to be scouring the market, trying to see what they could get. I'm not sure, you know, I thought Beverley was really good, especially in the Utah and series and what he was able to do on Booker for a lot of the time. But if they're going to, I wouldn't say anyone's really untouchable outside of George and Leonard and, you know, and I would say to some degree, man. So we'll see. I think they'll definitely try to make some kind of splash. But if not, yeah, might as well take care of Beverley while you can, give him a couple more years to lock down.
You know, another role player on the Clippers that's going to have an interesting offseason is Nick Batum. Kind of showed NBA teams this season he can still be a productive player on a playoff team after having a couple of rough seasons with the Hornets organization. But what's going to be interesting is he's still getting paid from the Hornets. So I wonder how that's going to affect his market looking towards this summer.
Yeah, that was something that I noted when I was talking about Batum, because seen a lot of people thrown out there like, oh, you know, maybe, you know, there's a lot of teams with the tax pyramid level, they can offer that. And that might have to pressure the Clippers to offer their tax pyramid level to just to match whatever Batum might be getting. But he's owed $18 million over the next two seasons from Charlotte still. And I was saying how the taxpayer mid level is like roughly $2.5 million from his the non-bird raise that they can give Batum, the Clippers can give Batum. So if you're Batum, you already owed a lot of money from Charlotte. You had a great year with the Clippers. Unless he gets some ridiculous offer, something maybe for like the full mid-level, the full non-taxpayer mid-level for multiple years, then maybe he considers helping the Clippers out for another year. Maybe takes the minimum or the non-bird maximum, let the Clippers preserve their taxpayer. I'm not trying to speak for what he should do, but just putting the context out there that he still owed a lot of money. So maybe it might not be as hard for the Clippers to retain him as you think.
Well, he might be a guy that's willing to give a discount, but one guy I'm not sure that's going to be is looking towards this summer. One of the top free agents on the market, and we're going to switch now from the Clippers to the Hawks, as we touched on in the open, but John Collins is a guy that's going to get paid this offseason, in my opinion. And then John was a guy that, statistically, he had a solid year. I know he's put up maybe technically better numbers on Hawks teams that didn't do as well, but his impact on Atlanta this season in terms of winning, I think, is going to translate into a nice pay raise for him this offseason. And with that in mind, he talked about free agency during his exit interviews, and he said, when he was asked about free agency, Collins said that, it's something I feel like I've voiced my opinion about a lot, saying that I want to be here and I've tried to be the best professional I can and let the business side be the business side and do what I can on the court and let that speak for itself. And he said, obviously we're going to have to come to a decision very soon, but hopefully the best one for me is the one that keeps me here. And, Travis Schlenk, Atlanta's GM, he praised him for just being a guy that he wasn't out there playing for his numbers, and he was out there playing for the team to win. And he mentioned how it spoke highly of his character. So the $1 million question, or the six figure, could be 100+ million question here or more for John Collins, is what does he end up getting? Ultimately, I think, any team that's going to want to get John Collins outside of Atlanta in restricted free agency is probably going to have to offer a max to make it a conversation for Atlanta. A lot of teams always in restricted free agency have to overpay to make it a tough decision for a team to let a guy walk. Now, ultimately, I see John Collins in Atlanta. He's coming back, in my opinion, whether that's matching an offer sheet or they get a deal done on their own. You can't let John Collins walk right now if you're Atlanta, the way the season transpired. And, he's talked about how much he wants to stay there. I just think they get it done ultimately. The question is how much.
Yeah, well, John Collins, he declined a pretty big extension. I believe it was reported before the season started, he turned down like $90 million over four, which, that's a pretty good amount of money based on what John Collins has done in his first three seasons in Atlanta. And, Atlanta hasn't been very good at all. And I wouldn't say he took like a huge risk, because I felt that there was definitely going to be a team, regardless of how the Hawks did this offseason, that probably throws a max at him just to see if the Hawks blink. But now I think he's, after this season that they had, and the Hawks just made a huge leap from one of the bottom of the lottery teams to they're probably going to be a playoff team from here on out. The best thing he's done is really solidified his future in Atlanta, and like in a role there where they're not going to, I don't think they're going to have any reservations about potentially maxing him out. So I guess the bigger question is, I agree with you. I think that he's going to stay in Atlanta. I think they're going to want to work something out. But I guess the bigger question is, are they just going to give him like a straight max, which I'm sure he'll command, or will they have him, let him sign a max offer sheet with another team so they could match it, which would be for a little less? Another team can offer him $121 million over four. That's roughly $30 million annually, while The Hawks themselves couldn't give him 163 over five. That's $33 million annually. Either way, if it was $90 million he declined before the season started, he already made himself at least another $30 million, which is really great. It'll just be interesting to see the way it goes. My guess is they work something out with him. I don't think they're going to want to, play any restricted free agency games with get other teams involved, especially after the season they had. I think they'll work something out.
Yeah. And I mean, another guy they're going to have to try to work something out with is Lou Williams, who they acquired in the middle of the season. And, my understanding is Lou Williams is seeking a 2-year deal, maybe 3 for the right fit, a leaked source told Hoopsype. And recently, Williams ended a recent Instagram post with hashtag think I'm coming back. Certainly, can confirm there's interest for Lou to come back to Atlanta. And that feeling seemed to be mutual with Hawks general manager Travis Schlenk. During his end of the season media availability, when he was asked about the possibility of bringing Lou Williams back, he said we'd be extremely open to talking to him and his camp about moving forward. I thought he added a lot to our team. And, Travis praised him for, being a productive player on the court. But one of the things that stuck out to Travis was how Lou Williams interacted with all their younger players and his personality. And particularly when he got to the team, Travis mentioned that there was a big growth in Onyeka Okongwu's game, and his presence in the practices in the locker room helped. And, lastly, Travis was saying that, quote, it's no secret that we've always struggled to field a consistent role at that backup point guard spot. And to me, it's right in front of you. You got Lou Will, perfect guy off the bench at this stage of his career, where he can spell Trae Young, impart some wisdom, and spot start for him, as you saw in the playoffs. And to me, I would think ultimately, as of now, they both sides get something done. Seemed like a good fit to me.
Yeah, something I always noticed, I always felt like Lou Williams always entered free agency in the most unlucky times. He was a free agent in 2015, right before the salary cap spike the following year. So he was earning like $7-8 million in that contract with the Lakers. And then he was about to enter free agency again in 2018, right after those 2016-2017 spikes were starting to cool down. So he extended on a very team-friendly deal with the Clippers again. I always wondered just how much he would make had he entered free agency during those spikes. But it looks like if the Hawks definitely should bring him back. One of their issues in their first few seasons with Trey was that they had absolutely no backup point guard, and now they found one of the most perfect backup point guards. Lou just finished his 16th season, though, so I definitely it's kind of like a year-by-year thing, in my opinion, just because, it feels like Lou's just immortal every year. He just keeps doing this and doing this. You forget how long he's been in the league for, but you definitely got to bring him back at least for another year. One thing to note is that the Hawks right now, if they give John Collins a max, they're going to be roughly $10 million below the tax. So my guess is that they're going to re-sign Lou with a good chunk of their space remaining. If something doesn't work out with him, they'll probably use their mid-level to get a different backup point guard. But after the success they had, I think I'm going to try to run back as much of the team as possible, and that definitely includes Lou.
Yeah, I mean, I would absolutely see that. And, Lou Williams reminds me a little bit of Jamal Crawford. I know he's older, but, guy can just get a bucket, and ultimately that's what they need. you know, they're going to have some interesting, another backcourt guy they got to figure out is Chris Dunn a little bit with his $5 million player option. You know, Travis didn't have any update there after his press conference, but obviously he'll talk to Dunn's representation about that. You know, right now, I think it's an interesting case for Dunn because I don't know if he's going to get to play as much next year given this roster the way it's looking right now. So do you take that $5 million or do you maybe try to get in a better situation to play more? I mean, he's obviously on a good team now. So it's, to me, it's not as easy of a decision for a guy like Dunn right now.
Yeah, so earlier today, I released an article where I made predictions on what will happen with all the remaining player and team options that have yet to be decided. And with Chris Dunn, I just said that I think he'll pick up that option, just mainly because he had a lost year. He had that ankle injury that kept him out. I'm not sure exactly how much he played, but he didn't play that much during the season or in the playoffs. And right now, the Hawks point guard situation is in flux just because Lou is a free agent. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll still get another. They'll either resign him or get a different backup point guard. But as long as Dunn's healthy, he's a rotational player. Like, he should definitely get minutes with the team. They are pretty heavy on guards and wings. But as you saw with this Hawks team, there was always somebody hurt. Like in the beginning of the year, Bogdanovich missed a lot of time. And then DeAndre Hunter, he started the season really hot. And then he just mostly missed time going forward. So you never, you know, and Chris Dunn was another guy who got hurt. There was plenty of Kevin Herter got to step up. Cam Reddish got hurt. Then Bogdanovich got healthy and he got to step up. So you just never know who's going to be there. Ultimately, I remember when the Hawks signed everyone and this past offseason, and I just thought, well, they're super loaded. Like, there's no way they could play all these guys. But injuries happen, and it was a great thing that they were this loaded and this deep because it just ended up working out, and they made it all the way to the conference finals. So my feeling is that things will work out for Dunn. I think he should get playing time next year as long as he's healthy.
Yeah, and I mean, in keeping with the theme of the backcourt for the Hawks, Kevin Herter's eligible for an extension too. And even Clint Capella, I think you had mentioned to me as well coming into this. I mean, with that in mind, does it make sense, do you think, for Atlanta to do that given where they're at right now financially, and what are their options with those guys?
So I'll touch on Capella really quickly. So he's eligible this offseason to have 3 years, almost $71 million. So he just had another monster year. It's crazy. The Hawks got him for free. They got a pick from Brooklyn to take on Evan Turner, or I don't know what the – oh, no, not Evan Turner. Alan Crabb to help them get cap space, and then they used that pick from Brooklyn to get Clint Capella. Like, just they got him for free, and he's one of the most productive centers, like one of the best centers that's not an all-star. He's definitely exceeded the value of his contract by a good amount. And so if you're Capella, it's an interesting extension. You know, usually when players capitalize on seasons this good, when they have seasons this good, they might want to wait till free agency to see what they could get. This extension would pay him like around $22-23 million annually, and keep him under contract through 2026. So, I mean, I don't know. It's pretty far out. The extension wouldn't even kick in for another 2 years, but it's definitely something to consider if you're him, cause that is a lot of money. And, if there's a season to capitalize and add additional years, this is as good as it could get. We'll see. Maybe Atlanta offers it. But then the more pressing one is Kevin Herter. He has 1 year left on his deal. He came in the same draft class as Trae Young, And he was awesome in the playoffs. He really stepped up with amid several other injuries that the Hawks had. And his number will be interesting. He definitely made himself a lot of money, especially after closing out the Sixers himself. And, I'm guessing now he might get something in the high teens. I think that's definitely something in value, solid value for him going forward. We'll see how negotiations are. That will be very fascinating because I think it's pretty tough to put a value on him right now. But the thing to keep in mind is that the money is starting to add up for the Hawks. Not so much for this upcoming season, but for the following one. Because you got Collins, who might make a max, definitely should make around it. You've got Kevin Huerter, who I think could get something in the high teens annually. And then you got Trae Young, and he's also extension eligible. And you saw that Luka Doncic, he's going to get the $201 million extension because he made All-NBA the past two seasons. If Trae Young makes All-NBA just this coming season, then he's eligible for that same contract. And I think that's a pretty good possibility that that happens. So, the numbers are really starting to add up. If you got Trae making a max, you got Collins making a max, you already got Capella and Bogdan making close to $20 million. Now you're going to put Huerter potentially making in the high teens. And then you still have Hunter Okongwu, Cam Reddish. You know, they're not making a ton of money, but they were lottery picks. So those salaries are pretty high for players on the rookie contracts. Like, they could be paying close to $30 million. They could be close to $30 million over the tax if with all these extensions, if they extend all these guys. So it's going to be pretty expensive for the Hawks going forward. So I definitely want to keep an eye on the Huerter situation, just because assuming Collins gets his gets taken care of, and Trae Young presumably will get extended this offseason. I'm really curious to see what they do with him. And also maybe they decide to make some other kind of moves with their core players, just because how expensive it's going to get.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll say this. I don't know what they're going to try to offer Kevin Huerter. I think they would certainly break the bank for Kevon Huerter, his alter ego that has come about during the playoffs. But, you know, you touched on it. And I'll say this is a good problem for Atlanta to have, you know, these potential high luxury tax implications. Because generally, when you're at that point, you've got a roster you really like. They've got a lot of young pieces. They've got a lot of guys that make decent contracts that you could eventually flip. You know, if you really wanted to piece all these young guys together and really go for it and make a move at the deadline for a veteran that could help, they can do that. They've got that flexibility. You know, for both the Los Angeles Clippers and the Atlanta Hawks, pivotal offseason, they were knocking on the doorstep to get to the NBA Finals. With a couple of tweaks, both teams maybe next season could end up there. That said, injuries happen, and as we saw this playoff run, anything can happen. But you know, Yossi, as always, no matter what happens, you and I will break it down. And it's always a pleasure, my man.
Thanks for having me on again, Michael. And the offseason is getting so much closer, so I'm sure it's going to get way more. It's going to be a lot more fun going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be breaking down the Clippers, the Hawks, and the rest of the league as well coming up as we get towards the draft and the NBA offseason as well. And on behalf of Yossi, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And if you want to hear more episodes of the Hoopside Podcast with guest appearances from NBA players, coaches, executives, and media members, you can like and subscribe to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can also keep up with my tweets on Twitter at Mike A. Scotto. Make sure you're following Yossi as well at Yossi Goslin, YossiGozlan. And until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.